Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 104. Psalm 104, and we're going to read the 35 verses of this chapter. Psalm 104, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they may not again cover the earth. You made springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. You give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock, and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you, to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, for those of you who are visiting with us this evening, we have for the last several weeks together been looking at various psalms in the book of Psalms, in the Psalter. And we have seen that there are really three basic types of psalms given to us, psalms of hymns of praise, and psalms of lament, and psalms of thanksgiving. And last time we talked about a particular type of the laments that was the penitential psalms. There are seven penitential psalms which call out to God for forgiveness from sin. Tonight we're going to look at a we might call a subtype of the hymns, and that is the creation psalms. There are four creation psalms in the Psalter. They are Psalms 8 and 19 and 104 and 148. We've used a number of those in our worship already this evening. Each of those psalms praises God particularly for His glory, for His majesty, for His work in creation. We believe that God reveals Himself in the works He has done, in the world He has made. We call that general revelation. Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 104, a hymn of praise to God that praises Him for His work in creation. Now we have, up to this point, usually used the structure of the psalm as the outline for the sermon, and I thought about doing that this evening because Psalm 104 in many ways parallels the creation account. And we'll look at this psalm together in terms of day 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and working through the days of creation. But I chose to make the outline maybe a little bit more of a theological bent. It still will fit the structure of the psalm. We're going to talk, first of all, about praising God for His work of creation. The fact that God made a space for His people, the work of creation. Then we'll look at praising God for His work in creation. The fact that God took that space He had made and then filled it with the various creatures. And finally, we'll look at praise for God's work from the creation, as the creation itself is called to turn back and bring praise to the God who made it. So tonight, a creation psalm, Psalm 104. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we'll walk through this psalm together. And perhaps you also want to put a bookmark in Genesis chapter 1. So we'll be referring there as well, and we see how this psalm in many ways is a parallel account of creation from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 gives us a narrative account of what God did day by day by day. Psalm 104 gives us a more poetic account. It uses different pictures, different imagery. It still follows that creational structure of 6 days of creation, but it gives us a little different picture, a little different flavor. This is a poetic account. Genesis 1 is a narrative account. And the psalm begins, as the hymns of praise do, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," a call to praise God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great." The psalmist begins by acknowledging it is proper to praise God. It is proper to acknowledge Him as God, as Creator. Genesis 1 begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The Bible begins by focusing on God first. In the beginning, God. What did He do? He was the Creator and He acted. But it begins with bringing praise to God for who He is. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment." When we think of creation, children, what was the first creation God made? What happened on that first day of creation? Genesis 1 says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. O Lord, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment." God begins His work of creation by bringing light into darkness. "The world," we read, "was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God hovering there, and God said, let there be light." In day one, we see God making a distinction. A distinction between light and darkness. And that's where we have to begin with understanding praising God in creation. There is a distinction that God makes. There is God who is creator, and there is the world that is created. There's a distinction. Just as a distinction between light and darkness, there's a distinction between the creator and the creature. And that sounds so basic to us, but there is such a movement today to break down that distinction between God as someone who is creator and far above us, and we who are only creatures. We are told by some religions that if you work hard enough, you too can become God. He is just more of what we already are. But there's a distinction. There's light and there's dark. There's creator and there's creature. We are simply created. God is the creator. God is the glorious one. He is the one who has chosen to make a world for his very own. We see this breaking down of the distinction between who God is and who we are. God makes distinctions in creation, the most fundamental distinction on day one. Let there be light. There was darkness. God calls forth light. His work of bringing light to creation. And then the psalmist goes on, day two. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds and ministers a flaming fire. God lays his beams of his chambers on the waters. What does Genesis 1 say? And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning a second day. God, after making the distinction of light and darkness, now starts to bring order and structure to his creation. God separates the waters from above and the waters below. God brings order, structure, and begins to form this creation. We read that the world was voidless and darkness over the face of the deep, and now God begins to put cosmos in the midst of chaos. He structures his creation. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, and he rides on the wings of the wind. Order, structure, part of God's work of creation. And we have to recognize God has placed order and structure here. We are not free to redefine things after our own thoughts and desires. God has put order, he has put structure, not only in the creation, but in what he has created in us as well. God has put order, structure. He's given us family. Family is God's structure, God's order. We are not free to redefine what a family is by two people who may or may not be married to each other and who may or may not be of the same gender. God has placed the order. God has placed the structure. We are not free to redefine things as we see fit. God puts order in the home, in the roles of husbands and wives, of parents and children. God places structure in society around us. We recognize it is his order. It is his structure. And we are called to recognize and praise him for his work of creating that structure. Psalmist goes on to day three. He sets the earth on its foundations so far that it shall never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they took flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so they may not again cover the earth. From Genesis 1. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. God now sets boundaries. Boundaries for where the water will go. It will go this far and no farther. God sets boundaries in the work of creation. And we see that God continues to do that even today. Boundaries for us, his people. God gives us his law because within the boundaries is where we find our safety. Within the boundaries, the earth is blessed. Verse 10, you make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your labor. God sets boundaries as a blessing for creation. God sets boundaries as a blessing for us. We often think of the law of God as that which keeps us from doing things. Maybe things we think we would like to do, but the law of God is a blessing for us. It is a boundary for us. When we live within the boundaries God has set, we experience his blessing. It's when we transgress those boundaries, when we do what God has not called us to do, that we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves going contrary to his law. No, God set boundaries already on day three, boundaries that were not to be passed over, the boundaries that they may never pass, that it may never again cover the earth. The boundaries were a blessing for creation. God's law, in the boundaries he gives to us, are given not for our hurt. They are given as a blessing for us. Praise for God's work of creation. The psalmist goes on, now praising God for his work in creation. From verse 14. You caused the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man and oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. God now cares for the creation he has made. The rest of day three from Genesis 1. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation and plants yielding seed and the fruit trees bearing fruit in each of which is their seed according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kinds and fruit trees bearing fruit according to their seed and their kinds. And God saw it was good. And there was evening, there was morning the third day. God's care for the creation he has made. He's made a space, and now he's going to fill that space. And he fills that space, first of all, with vegetation. You cause grass to grow for the livestock, plants for men to cultivate. On day three, the livestock hadn't been created yet. Neither had man. And yet God anticipates the need. Even before he creates the livestock, he creates that which will sustain them. Even before he creates man, he creates plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden his heart and oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen his heart. God's care for his creation. Even before the need is there, God meets the need. What a wonderful reminder for us today. It's easy for us to get caught up with difficulties we have in our lives, and we look ahead and we say, how in the world are we going to get out of this? How in the world are we going to make this work? And we forget, God already knows the need. and He already knows the solution to the need. What a wonderful way to give us hope and assurance and comfort that we're not left on our own when we go through times of difficulty. But God knows what we will need, and He has already determined how that need will be met. God, in day three, gives us that picture, making grass to grow for the livestock, plants for the man to cultivate, His care for His creation, even before the rest of creation was there. Psalmist goes on in God's work in creation in day four, verse 19. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, it is night, and all the beasts of the forest creep about. Reflects the wording of Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be as signs for seasons and for days and for years. God makes the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows when it's time to set. God puts rhythm in life. God puts cycles in life. A rhythm of life to remind us, to reflect upon where we have been, where we are, and where we are going. Life is not one just continuous straight line moving forward without any thought of what has happened before. But God has rhythm. Cycle in life. We are to reflect upon what God has done for us in the past. It helps us to deal with the present. It gives us hope for the future. God has been there before. He is there now. He will be there later. The moon marks the seasons. The sun knows when to go down. There is rhythm, there is cycle, there is the structure of the week. There's a reason that we work for 6 days and rest for one. What is that reason, children? It's found in creation, in the creation story. Because God worked for 6 days and then He rested for one. That's why we're here today. We're here because God has set apart a day for worship, a day to rest in Him. That's part of the beauty of the creation story in day four. These markers of time, of rhythm, of cycle, a pattern set by God Himself. When we honor the Lord's Day, we are honoring God and honoring the pattern that began already in that first week of creation. The psalmist goes on to day five, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are Your works. In wisdom You have made them all. The earth is full of Your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which You formed to play in it. In day five, God, we read, and God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. And God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, and the waters swarm and all of their kinds. God created animals to fill the earth. God created a variety. Birds and animals and all of these things, the great sea creatures. The variety of God, the creativity of God. We see something of His immense glory. He didn't just make one animal. God could have. Could have made just one animal, but He didn't. A variety. Animals that move in the air, animals that move in the water. All of these glorious creatures. The psalmist talks about the Leviathan, this great sea creature which God formed to play in the sea. We see something of God's creativity in the creation of the birds and the fish to fill the heavens, to fill the seas. God's glory in what He has made. And then finally, the land animals. Verse 28. You give it to them and they gather it up. You open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away your breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. All these creatures look to You to give them their food in due season. He said earlier in verse 21, the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and his labor until the evening. God makes the animals, God makes the man and gives them a task to do. Again, from verse 27, all of these things look to you and you give them their food in due time. Creation is dependent upon God. Creation is dependent upon Him to continue to provide for them. And God does that. He gives it to them and they gather it up. You open up your hand and they are filled with good. God sends out man unto his work and his labor until evening. God gives us a task to do. We know God will provide for us. We know He is the one who takes care of us. But He doesn't say, now just sit back and wait for me to plunk food on your table out of heaven. He says, no, I've given you work to do, a task with which to be engaged. God gives us vocation, a calling, a job to serve Him, that we might gather in the food that He has prepared in advance for us. Praise God for His work in creation, providing for all the creatures, providing for man as well. Dependence upon God is the lesson of day 6. Dependence upon Him that allows man to go out to do his work, to labor until evening, that all of these things look to you and you give them their food in due season. Praise for God's work in creation. The psalmist finishes this beautiful picture of the creation week by talking about praise for God's work from the creation also. Verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. After God finished creating, God sat back and took delight in what He had made. We read in Genesis 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done and rested on the seventh day from all the work He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from His work that He had done in creation. Why did God rest, children? Was it because He was tired after working 6 days? Absolutely not. God rested so He could enjoy and delight in what He had made. God delights in His creation, delights in its beauty, delights in its intricacy. And God calls us to delight in our Creator. Verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. We are called to bring praise to our God and delight in His work. Delight in His work of creation that He has made around us. And then He finishes. He finishes with this last verse. After praising God and speaking all His glory and His majesty, verse 35, let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more. He's been talking about how important it is to delight in God, to delight in what He has done. And he reminds us, we talked about the two ways in the Psalms, they always give both sides of the story. For those who do not delight in Him, for those who do not recognize Him as the one who has created everything around them, he says, let these sinners be consumed from the earth, let the wicked be no more. For those who will not acknowledge God, acknowledge His greatness, acknowledge His glory, acknowledge what He has done, they will have no part in the joy of the creation. Rather, let them be consumed from the earth, let the wicked be no more. And the frightening thing is that is exactly where we would be had God not chosen to give us not only the grace of creation, but the wonderful work of recreation in our hearts. He is the one who has renewed us. As He renews all creation, He renews us after His image. He gives us His Spirit that we might respond to Him with praise. He calls forth the praises of His people, those in whom He has worked, who recognize God's care over creation not only includes all the external things that God has created and cares for, but He has provided for our deepest needs. Not only bread to gladden our bread to fill us and wine to gladden our hearts, He has changed our hearts by sending us His Son, Jesus Christ. He has renewed us after His image by the power of His Spirit, that we can do exactly what Psalm 104 says, praise the Lord and bless Him. We must recognize God's glorious work in creation, all that He has done around us, but also His work in re-creation, changing our hearts, changing our lives through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of His Holy Spirit, that we can end like the psalmist ends, bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. May God give us that grace. May God give us that Spirit, that we can recognize His glory around us, not only in creation out there, but also in the recreation in here, to make us those who now see His glory and His majesty, the ones who praise Him for all that He has done. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, You are very great. You are the God who is clothed with splendor and majesty. You are the God who covers Yourself with light as with a garment. You are holy and righteous and good. And we praise You, O God, for Your work of creation, for all that we see around us, that day by day and step by step, You made a place and then You filled that place. And then You sat back to rest and enjoy what You had made. We pray, O God, that we might find our rest and our enjoyment and our delight in You. We praise You for Your work of recreation in our hearts and lives, providing for our deepest needs, providing us with a Savior, Jesus Christ. May it be for His sake that we bring You praise and honor and glory for all that You are, for all that You have done. May we praise You, O God, from creation, for Your great work in our lives. Accept our praise, we pray, and hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake, amen.